What's up, everybody? Welcome to part two of episode four of A Link to Our Past. I'm your host, John Bernardo, and this is part two of my conversation with Andrew Taylor. If you've been listening to part one, you basically know what's going on. So without further ado, here is part two. Speaking of games that you just like kind of played and just dropped, do you remember a game that you were so excited for and you bought it and then you brought it home and just went $60 down the drain?
Yeah. Okay. So it's called Brink.
Dude, no fucking way. No fucking way. Oh my God. That's the exact same game I was going to say.
So for the listeners out there, if you don't remember hearing about Brink, is an online multiplayer shooter.
Only.
Yes. And it involved a lot of parkour, which was something I thought was going to be really cool. It had a decently kind of cool looking art style.
Yeah. And it was hyped for a while too.
It was really hyped.
Yeah.
And I was on that hype train. I was like, sign me up. I remember pre-ordering it like whenever pre-orders were available and being super pumped about it.
That's so funny,
and then I
man.
Get the game and I'm playing for maybe like a couple hours and I'm like, no, this is fun. Yeah, this is really fun. Yourself. Yeah. So I had to like lie to myself for a good week before I returned it. And actually I returned the game. And the funny thing is like the day before I returned the game, LA Noir had just come out. So, because those came out like a week apart from each other. I remember that like specifically. And I remember just exchanging games and just being like, this game doesn't work. You know, can I get LA Noir? And they're like, yeah, sure. That's fine. It was like at GameStop. But I was so excited for Brink.
Dude, I know. Like all the gameplay videos made it look amazing.
Yeah.
And the games like still like what they showed was in the game. It's just the online didn't handle well. It was buggy, glitchy, everything under the sun.
And the server's really bad too. It took forever to get in a match.
Yeah. I remember a month later it was in a bargain bin already.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's an insane turnaround. And
that is probably.
That was after Mirror's Edge, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
The first Mirror's Edge on 360?
Yes. Yeah.
I think so.
Because
I'm going to say yes.
Because I was so into... I loved Mirror's Edge. That was a game that I was kind of like, I shouldn't like this, but I just do. I don't need to... doesn't need to be a perfect game. I just love the idea behind it. And then when Brink came out, I was like, perfect. This combines both. And then here you are trying to run off wall, and it just didn't work.
It just did not work at all. And it had a really cool concept to it. And that was something I was really excited for. You know, parkour was kind of just becoming a thing. Like the new James Bond movie that at the time with Casino Royale, like that had parkour and everyone's like parkour, you know, like that's so cool. And it was cool. It's a cool idea, but it didn't work. So, that's probably one of my most, if not my most disappointed, like anticipated game that was coming out where I was like, what the hell is this? You know,
that's hilarious.
We turned it like a week later, you know,
that's hilarious how many years apart we are. And how we both had, that's the exact game that was going through my mind when I asked that question.
Yeah. That's crazy.
There was another multiplayer game that was similar in vain in the terms of like, you were hyped up for it and it had a cool concept, but the gameplay was actually good. Do you remember Shadowrun?
I remember everyone really interested in it. I never really got into like that whole like multiplayer, you know, experience or whatever it, you know, whatever it was trying to do. But yeah. I do remember it. Like I do remember seeing it. I remember the cover when you said the name.
Yeah, that one worked. That one actually had server no problems, you know. It played well. It had a great concept, but just didn't last. That's a problem with the multiplayer only.
And was that the first game that kind of had cross console stuff?
Yeah.
It was PC, right?
Yeah, PC and Xbox, yeah.
Okay, cool. I do remember that game, and that was kind of like a really cool. I remember seeing that specifically branded on the cover of the game saying like, this is like a cross, you know, cross platform, like you can play it with PC players. I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." It's not for me, but, you know, cool idea. And like we're kind of starting to see that kind of stuff with games more today. I know like Rocket League's kind of doing that with like PC and like Xbox One, and then like there's a possibility like with PS4.
I'm waiting for the Mac version since I don't have PS4. I'm because I played Rocket League actually in a kiosk a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I fell in love. Like, I would buy a PS4 just for that if I could.
Yeah. No, like me and my buddy, that'll be like our socializing game where we just kind of, hey, like, how's your week been? But like, we're still playing like Rocket League, and we like to think we're decent, but
well, to be like, I was playing and I was losing and I didn't even care.
Yeah.
It was that much fun. Yeah, it is.
It's just a fun game, and it's the cool thing is that it's all physics based, which is really cool. We don't see a lot of games like that these days. But yeah, where was it? Yeah, we were going off 360 with Call of Duty. yeah, Call of Duty. And then, you know, towards the end of the cycle, you know, you were getting Grand Theft Auto 5 finally came out, and like Dishonored came out, and I was getting more, I was kind of getting tired of like big AAA games at the time. And ever since I switched over, because the only reason I actually ever switched over to PlayStation 4 was because I wanted to play The Last of Us. I remember being really intrigued by The Last of Us and all three Uncharted games had already come out. So I never actually had the chance to play them. And then I was like, you know what? This Last of Us game looks really interesting. Like, it's a really cool like concept. All the trailers they shown like looks great.
It was amazing.
And so I remember like going on Craigslist and being like, all right, I need to find like a cheap PS3 so I can like play this game.
And then the PS4 version came out.
Yeah, and the PS4 version came out like a year and a half later, which was totally fine. Because yeah, so I still had a 360 and I just finished playing Tomb Raider, like the original Tomb Raider, like the rebooted one that came out like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh no, I love that one.
Yeah, and it's a great game. I'm excited for the sequel to come out on PS4 later this year. But I just finished that game, so I was like, all right, I really want to play Last of Us. It's coming out in like 2 weeks. I had some extra cash laying around, so I found like a $60 PS3 from someone off Craigslist, bought that, and then I went and pre-ordered Last of Us, and I played Last of Us, and Last of Us is like in my top five like favorite games of like all time. And you said you've never played. Have you ever played it?
Oh, no, the Last of Us, I played the PS1, the PS3 version. I pre-ordered that one, played it through. I never played the PS4, but my friend got it. I looked at it. I'm like, I don't need to replay it. The PS3 version was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And like the PS4 version is you know, it's impressive too. It ups the...
It's definitive,
It ups the FPS and everything, frames per second, and it runs great. But yeah, I played The Last of Us and I was like, this is where I realized that gaming wasn't just like gaming, like casually. I realized that it's like an experience. It's something that like, you know,
you got emotions and you go through it.
You get emotional about it. And I never had really, I had felt it with some games, you know, I felt it with like the very first Modern Warfare. You know, if I don't want to spoil that game because, you know, a remastered version is still coming out, but the campaign for the very first Modern Warfare, like that got me emotional towards the end. Like the Halo games, like got me emotional. Just because over the time of like those three games, you were coming, you know, you were getting really close to like Master Chief and Cortana and all that stuff. And then with Last of Us, this is, you know, maybe a 20-30 hour experience. You know, if you're kind of just taking your time and exploring, it might be even longer than that. But and which is something I did with that game, and I never done that with a game before where I just took my time with the game, like
just
looking
get lost
at things
in the game, the world,
and like interacting with the world, because you know, you could do that with, you know, with Joel and Ellie, was just looking around and like touching stuff and getting more dialogue from both of them, which was really cool. But yeah, that game just kind of excelled like my interest in more story-based games than like these big AAA games. And not that Last of Us wasn't like a big AAA game, but it felt like it was a big AAA game that had never really done something for me personally before.
Right, right.
And so I was like, all right, awesome. You know, E3 was just around the corner. And, you know, the PS4 finally gets announced. And you know, Xbox One gets announced, and like everyone's shitting on Xbox One, and I was an Xbox like purist. Basically, the only reason I had gotten a PS3, like I said, was just
Last
for
of
Last
Us.
Of Us.
Yeah,
and so I'm starting to kind of like weigh out my options here. I'm like, all right, you know, maybe it's time to like make the switch. And so, you know, Xbox One and PS4 both come out. I don't buy them at launch. I don't buy either of them at launch. I just like wait 6 months, and then I bought a PS4, and that's where I've been ever since. And you know, that's where I kind of I've discovered like all these really small games, and it's great. Like Journey, if you ever played Journey. Yeah,
I've always wanted to play it. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I heard it's, you know, very emotional experience.
Yeah, it's very emotional. It's 2 hours, you know, and you look at the game and you're like, you look at screenshots or whatever, you're like, how emotional can this get you? But it totally is, and it's great, you know. It was, I think I got the game, I know that PSN has like these play like events or whatever every year.
Right.
And they do, and there's one actually like just started like today, I think, for summer 2016. And I think that the remaster or whatever, like the port for PS4, was last year's like play event. And I got the game, I played it in 2 hours, and I was like, I think I spent $20 on that, but I was like, $20 well spent for a 2 hour experience.
Yeah, it was the experience, right?
Because it's like the same thing. You go to the movies and you spend $20+ because you're not just buying tickets for you and say your girlfriend or whatever, but you're buying like popcorn and drinks. You're gonna spend like upwards of $40 for like maybe like a mediocre 2 hour experience. Kind of depends on what you're watching. Yeah. But like with Journey, that's something that I could replay and
as many times as you want. Yeah,
as many times as I want. I've only beat the game once. I feel like I might only play the game once because it's like one of those things I don't ever want to go back to. I don't feel that way about Last of Us. I will play it again eventually. I've played it 2.5 times now. And yeah, but like The Last of Us is just kind of something I feel like I want to go back to because there's just a lot going on in that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Journey is really simple story, but it really is emotional. If you've played Gone Home at all.
I started it. I just haven't finished it.
It's not for everyone. I didn't think it was going to be for me, but because of everyone talking about it, that's why I bought it. I bought the game, played it, and I was crying at the end of the game because it's really emotional. And like I've seen people on like Facebook groups, like talk shit about it, and it's like if it's not your game, like that's fine.
Yeah,
you don't
just
have to
leave
talk
it alone.
Shit about it. Like it's a great experience for everyone else. And I thought, I was like, this was a story. This was experience. It wasn't so much of a game. Everyone's like, oh, it's a walking simulator, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, it is with a story, though.
Yeah,
like there's a story behind it.
It's
all
a story, and to me, it just felt like really special. And so, ever since then, I've been with Kinda Funny, like the whole community and everything else. I've just been seeking out like those smaller experiences
for sure.
And I've found a lot of them on PS4. I feel like I've found a lot of them on my Vita too, which I bought like almost a year ago, maybe less than that. And I've been playing games, you know, just exclusively for like the PlayStation and Vita, you know, and it's a shame cause like I miss Xbox and I don't ever talk down about Xbox, but like, I just don't have a connection like I used to.
It doesn't have the same pop that it did when it came out. Because there's nothing like you look at it. There, it doesn't have that exclusivity anymore.
Yeah,
it's just a system. That's all it is.
And but there are games on there that I feel like I would probably really enjoy. My roommate did have an Xbox One for like a short time, and I remember him bringing home the Xbox with Sunset Overdrive, and I thought that was really cool and like super creative and wonky and quirky and like I'm like this is like an experience I kind of want to have. It's like just crazy. You know? But then it kind of had like that Metroidvania experience with Ori and the Blind Forest, which I never had the chance to play, but everyone talked about it and said it was great, and it looks great. It looks like my kind of game. But yeah, I haven't had a chance to play that. So like the Xbox has like experiences that I'm interested in, but I don't feel like I want to spend the money to kind of do that. Everyone, I feel like
they'll be on PC eventually anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Everyone is kind of gravitating towards like PlayStation and Sony is because like everyone, all the developers want to build something on this console, which is cool.
Right.
And you know, everyone's like saying, oh, like the PS4 is like, you know, the indie box now or whatever. And that's great.
There's no problems there.
Yeah. Like 5 years ago, I wouldn't have had probably any interest in something like small games or anything like that, because I was still in like my AAA you know, fever kind of mood, but now that's like all I want to play. And so I, you know, I'm still playing big games. Like I'm excited for Battlefield 1. I'm excited for like Mafia 3. I'm excited for like the BioShock like remake.
All that collections.
Remaster, you know, like all those collections, yeah, yeah. Which some games deserve more than others. And so, yeah, I'm just like curious, you know, like I'm curious to see where like gaming goes from here. You know, we have like PlayStation VR coming out this year, which I had the chance of using at PlayStation Experience this last year. And I actually snuck into like, you had to be like media to get into the VR experience at PSN. So yeah, I kind of flashed a badge in a sense. Alex O'Neill from Rational Passions was there, and he had an appointment because, you know, he's Alex O'Neill. So he got an appointment, and then he steps in line, and I just stepped right behind him, and her back was turned, and we just stood there in line. And I was like, all right, looks like, you know, whatever.
This
and
so is happening.
We wait for like 15 minutes. We finally get to sit down, and they're like, hey, like, which demo you want to play? And I remember Colin Moriarty from Kind of Funny being like, yeah, Eve Valkyrie is like really cool. So I chose that one. I sit down and I'm like, I'm convinced now that VR is going to be something really big and special. And so I'm excited to see where developers take games and make them even better experiences than what they are right now.
Of course. Yeah. What be able to immerse you into the game itself.
Yeah. And I feel like at first it's going to be just like those big studios, but then they're going to start allowing smaller studios to kind of use this technology and like make these small experiences, like these $20, $15 experiences available to everyone else. And like, not just for games, I'm excited to just lay in my bed and like maybe watch a movie that's like 5 inches away from my face.
Why not, right?
You know, like, This is our day and age. This is the 21st century. We're super lazy. Whatever.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see if there's like going to be some sort of like concerts, you know, that are going to be like exclusive to like VR, which I think would be really cool too. Because, you know, Facebook's kind of doing that right now with the whole 360 camera videos.
Yeah, that, yeah. Like, and YouTube does that too.
YouTube does it. Yeah. And so I'm excited for those kinds of things. I think VR is going to be something really special. And so that's kind of where I'm at, like with gaming, is just excited for the future, but really content with what I have right now.
Which is just
like all these small games, but then all these big games too, that are still really, really, really great. So yeah.
Not enough time in the day, that's for sure.
And there is not enough time for that, you know. You like, I always feel like, oh, here's a sale, and I'll buy like these five games, you know, that I've wanted to play before.
And they just sit there.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I feel like I know the pain that like people have with Steam, you know, like those Steam sales, like 75% off, 80% off. And
they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing too. And I have a friend who's like exclusively a PC player, and he has like 50 games he's never touched like on his PC. And I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. You know, I probably have like 20 games I haven't touched that I have. And so like, I'm a culprit too, you know?
Yeah, we all
but
are.
But this is what they want you to do is just buy all these games, which is great, because if there's ever a day where I'm like, all right, I'm sick of playing the new Call of Duty, I want to play like this small game, you know, I want to just do something else, I'll always have like those smaller games to kind of fall back on. Mm-hmm. And so that's just something I'm grateful for. And I'm just hoping that one day, maybe when I'm like old and like
old and
I'm sure it'll be like PS7 by the time I like retire or something, or PS9, or you know,
you'll go through your 100 game backlog.
Yeah, I'll go through like my 300 game backlog and just like start chucking away at it. But yeah, I mean, gaming is awesome. So
it's life,
and it is life. It's great to like talk about where it all came from.
Yeah, dude, I honestly felt like I've watched you grown up, so I really appreciate you literally walking me from the beginning until now. I definitely felt like I was there with you the whole time.
And it was all because of Ninja Turtles Hyper Heist. So.
Hyper Heist, Hoverstone Heist, and Turtles in Time. Different games, but the same game. I could go on and on about Turtles, but I won't.
Yeah, no. I'm a big Ninja Turtles fan.
I'm right alongside. We're going to get along just fine.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, honestly, I really appreciate you going through all that.
For sure.
It's amazing how, like I said, how far we are apart and how much similarities we have. But before we go, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell to anybody? Is there anything that we should be listening to?
So, yeah. Myself, and three other guys from the Kinda Funny community, we started a podcast about a year ago, and at the time we didn't really know what it was, and it changed ever since then. So we used to be just exclusively talking about comics every week, but we kind of have branched out a little bit in a sense where we talk about comic books and video games every week. So we'll come together every week, we'll talk about what comics we've been reading, if we've read anything, what games we've been playing, and just kind of like bullshit for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours every week. And we have a lot of people on there. We have, you know, we have guests on there, and I'm sure we're going to get you on there pretty soon.
Right on, man. We're happy to go.
So it's called Comics and Joysticks. You can find us on YouTube at comicsandjoysticks.com. Or wait, youtube.com/comicsandjoysticks. You can find us on SoundCloud, which I feel like is the easiest way to find us. And it's just Comics and Joysticks on there. If you like to use iTunes, you can find us, you can just search the Comics and Joysticks podcast, which everything will be there. So like I said before, like, we're kind of exclusively just comics and video games for right now, but like, we're kind of branching out. We do movie reviews. We all go to see the same movie and then we come back and we talk about it. We've done about 6 of those, and our last one was Captain America Civil War.
Oh, okay.
And I think we're going to be doing one this Thursday night for Star Trek Beyond.
Right on.
So, and then we also do a podcast every month. We do one episode a month, and it's called the Shower Thoughts Podcast. And that's where we just kind of bullshit for 2.5 hours.
Sounds
about
steamy.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. So we just like bring a topic and we kind of just talk about it for a while, and it's been fun. I think we've only done 2 episodes, and we still have yet to do this month, I believe. We used to do a book club kind of thing where we'd have everyone vote for a book, because we have a Facebook group too. So if you're interested in looking up the Facebook group, you can just type in Comics and Joysticks. I think there's a Facebook page, which is different than a Facebook group, but you can join both if you like. We used to do a book club, which I kind of miss. We'd vote, and there's like 100 of us like in the Facebook group, and we'd all vote. And then after that, we would pick the group, or we'd pick the book, and then we'd all read it and then, you know, talk about it, have like a 2-hour discussion about it. You know, people would email us with questions about the book that they had, or stuff that they wanted us to talk about, which is really cool. So I'm kind of hoping like we bring that back. But yeah, like I said, if I feel like the easiest way to find us is on SoundCloud. So just Comics and Joysticks.
Sweet.
Straight up.
Awesome, man. And if they want to follow you on Twitter, even though I said it in the beginning.
Yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Papa Drew Bear on Twitter. It's the worst Twitter name.
It's all right. It's all right.
everyone, I'm sure everyone says that about their Twitter name. I wish I just had Andrew Taylor, at Andrew Taylor. It'd be so easy, but like, the person that's using that Twitter handle is like non-existent. Like, he doesn't even use his Twitter. I've like DM'd him before. Never got a response.
That's the way it is.
Oh well. But yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate it.
Like, chatting about, you know, games for an hour here. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah, so if anyone else wants to find me, I'm at John S. Bernardo. John Bernardo was taken, so I had to drop the initial. You can follow the podcast at alinktoourpast.com. Past, that's plural. And if you ever want to be a guest on the show, just email us at alinktoourpast@gmail.com or tweet at one of the accounts. Once again, thanks for joining us. Thank you, sir. And we'll see you next time. Keep on playing the 8-bit games.
See you next time.
Take care, everyone.